Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father through Jesus. Amen. This morning we're going to look at our second lesson from Hebrews 3, 1 to 6 as we talk about how God reveals his glory in his house. It's on the page 3 of your service folder if you want to follow along as we talk about it. In Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Pastoral training in our church body goes like this. After high school, you go to college for 4 years at our worker training school. In my day, it was in Watertown. Now it's in New Ulm. And then you go 2 years at the seminary in Mequon. And then the third year, you go as a vicar, as an intern in a congregation. You go back to the sem for your final year. So by the time I had studied for 6 years, you're kind of going nuts a little bit. You know, all that study, you need to do something to go someplace else. At least that was what my thinking was. So myself and a good friend spent 6 weeks in Europe with a backpack, a rail pass, and hopefully enough deodorant to cover up just rinsing out our clothes in the sink every night. But it was one of the greatest 6 weeks, you know, as far as a trip goes that I've ever had. It was fascinating to see some of the sites that we'd studied about in history and things like that. But one of the places that stuck in my mind was the Palace of Versailles, King Louis' palace in France, outside of Paris. It could be because of how we got there, because we were supposed to meet up with some other guys that had gone over from the seminary. We were supposed to meet at Notre Dame. We were there at the time. They never showed up. So we figured something happened. They didn't make it. Next day, we're in line at the Louvre going to get it. Enter the Louvre, and there's all these different entrances to the Louvre. We look behind us, and there they all are, right behind us. So then the next day, we all piled into their little dinky car they had rented, and we drove out to Versailles, which was interesting, to say the least. But to go through Versailles and see the Hall of Mirrors, where the Treaty of Versailles was signed to end World War I, it was just incredible. It was mind-numbing. There was so much ornate, incredible stuff there. To go around the grounds and look at the grounds. I'm not a horticulturist, but man, it was amazing to see the stuff they had done on the grounds. You know, you look at all that, and it becomes really clear that the King of France, when anyone entered his palace, he wanted them to be overwhelmed with the power and the wealth and the glory that was his as the King of France, right? You're coming from some other place, and you're meeting him there. It was designed to say, man, France must be something special. Look at this. This is incredible. Okay. I understand that. As we look at Scripture, we see how God reveals his glory at times in incredible, spectacular ways, way beyond the Hall of Mirrors, you know, and what we read in our gospel where he taught with authority, he cast out demons. I understand that. That reveals God's glory, right? So now you see how God's glory in our second lesson that we're looking at is revealed in his house. Well, maybe you're thinking like Notre Dame, or you're thinking our church, which is beautiful, a big brick church, you know, looks like a mighty fortress. When you pull up, looks really cool, glorious looking, right? Well, no. Did you notice in there the last line of Hebrews 3, 1 to 6, where he says his house is? His house isn't this building. It isn't bricks, it isn't paint, it isn't carpet, it isn't wood. His house is you. Think about that. Holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Think about that. God has chosen to reveal his glory in his house, and he says his house is you and me. He reveals his glory in us if we hold to our faith. Oh, that's a little counterintuitive, isn't it? I mean, look at us. We ain't that impressive. I mean, I'd see you guys sitting out there every week. You ain't that impressive. You know, a week ago Thursday night, I preached up in the pulpit. I walked down the pulpit after the sermon, after I said amen, and I started laughing to myself. I was thinking, you know, they never taught me at the sem, hey, when no one's listening anymore, just say amen. But that's what happened that Thursday night. And now you're thinking, hey, but wait a minute, Pastor, you aren't all that glorious either. I've sat through your sermons and I had no clue what you were talking about or why, so don't say it's all on us, it's you. Yes. Every single one of us here, we're weak.
We're frail. We're sinful. We're messed up. And this idea that God says his glory is revealed in us, mind-boggling, isn't it? Especially when we know each other. I mean, look at the person next to you. You look at them and think, oh, glorious God, there they are. And yet that's what he's telling you this morning. I find that fascinating. Especially when you stop and think about how God revealed his glory in that, in the gospel. You know, if one of you guys stood up and started yelling at me, that'd be interesting in the middle of a sermon, right? And that's what that guy did that was possessed by this impure spirit. But then Jesus revealed his glory by casting him out. That I can understand. But in us, because we're messed up. Here's how messed up we are. God's pretty serious about his word. Did you notice that today in worship already? In Psalm 1, blessed are you when you meditate on his word day and night. You're like a tree planted by water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. God's telling you the word is important in your life. In that first lesson, talked about Moses, and our lesson talks about how Jesus is superior to Moses. He is the great prophet that Moses promised that would come after him. But did you notice how it talked about the prophets there at the end of the first lesson? It says, I'll put my word in his mouth. He'll speak it faithfully, but woe to anyone who presumes to speak in my name but doesn't speak what my word says, or who speaks in the name of another God. Remember what it said should happen to them? It didn't say, shake your finger sternly at them. It didn't say, tisk, tisk them until they turn away from preaching falsely. It said they should be put to death. I'm going to tell you, God is really, really serious about his word. And that should scare us, shouldn't it? Oh yeah, we're Christians. We wouldn't speak in the name of another God, would we? I think every one of us here has. I think at one time or another, every single one of us here has spoken the name of another God. When God's word has said, hey, this is what is right and wrong, and God, who is serious about his word, says certain things are absolutely right, certain things are absolutely wrong, and I'm calling them sin, and we have taken that and in our lives, or we've said, I don't know if I can believe in a God that would send anyone to hell, or I can't believe that God would let anyone suffer this kind of sickness or disease. When we try to reshape God into our own image, we're speaking in the name of another God, and that God is myself. That's as certainly idolatry as anything else. So if you and I do that, we're worthy of death, right? Somebody should be winding up and pitching stones at us 98 miles an hour until we're dead. Because that's what it said to do in biblical times. So now here's where God starts revealing his glory in us. Weak, frail people that we are, who often worship ourselves or our ideas more than others. And if you doubt that at all, man, go to pick up that book we're looking at on Sunday nights now, The 12 False Christs, how we want to reshape Jesus in our image instead of letting him reshape us. We do it all the time. Here's where God reveals his glory. We put our hope in him, who is, what did it say in the start of what I read to you? He is the apostle and our high priest. He was an apostle, one sent out. He was sent out from heaven to come to this world, to live perfectly in your place, and then as a high priest to offer not some ram or some lamb or some drink offering or some grain offering, but to offer himself as the once for all sacrifice to pay for all your sins. And then he's the one that sends the Holy Spirit into your heart through word, through baptism, and gives you the gift of faith to believe that Jesus did this for you. And now you live as his house, and you have this glory that is not your own. It is his. Because he has done for you what you could never do. He's made you his child again, even though you're worthy of death. And now he says, we go out and we serve in our daily life, in every area of our life, in whatever our calling is. We serve at so many different ways and so many different times. And when we're at our best, we do it to give glory to God who made us a part of his house. And the fact that we do it at all, yeah, it might be cloaked in weakness. It might be cloaked in our failings. But The fact that we can live to serve our God at all reveals His glory. He has won the victory over Satan in our life when we believe in Him. And that victory keeps marching forward as we live for Him. Doesn't look as glorious as some of His miracles. But it is a miracle that has touched our hearts and then touches the lives of others as we live for God and serve God simply because what He has done for us is glorious. This is God's calling to you. You're His house. You reveal His glory to the world. Rejoice in that calling. And then let the Lord build you up. Because you're going to fail from time to time yet. You're still weak. You're going to sin. But then your God. Your God comes and puts His arm around your shoulder. And He walks with you to the altar. And He gives you His very body and blood to say, I don't care what you've done, how you failed me. I love you and I forgive you because of me. Because of you. That's glorious. That's our life. That's what we get to share. Amen.